Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mother Days. I am Sarah Wright Olson.
And I am Tabriza Palmer. What's up, daisies? How's it going?
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Sarah and I have done this intro about three times because we keep talking at the same time. Guys, we're new to this. We're only like a number of episodes in. And I'm like, do you talk? Do I talk?
Technical difficulties are always just, it's just part of my existence. It's like anybody in my life, in my family, they'll come to me and be like, oh, you're really techie. And I'm like, I'm not techie. I just have to read so much about technical stuff because I can't figure anything out unless I like read the blogs about it, right?
I feel like tech breaks around me. Like I walk into a room and everything's like, it's like melts because I'm so bad with tech stuff. I'm really terrible.
I have to tell everybody that when we were writing our book, Teresa was writing the book on her iPhone or iPad in the back of an RV, like traveling across America. But when we first started our blog, she used to have this like really janky old laptop. And then she had like a one of those keyboards that plugged in to the laptop.
But yeah.
It was like there was funny something story. Like twice removed.
This is the funny story. So I had an at-home Kalima board, which is like an enema board, like a DIY. And you like put it in and you put your legs up and you insert the little thing up the butt and the water goes and it's just like, it all comes out. And you're meant to sit on this thing for about 60 minutes. And so I would sit and like have it all flow out of me and I would have my laptop on my lap. But what you have to do is you have to have a bucket of water for the pressure up higher than you. And one day I was like typing on my laptop and the bucket of water fell on me and it was a disaster. Like poo went everywhere. Water went everywhere. Like my butt was like water, poo mixture, just like flying out, going into the shower, all over the ground. I was like, ah! But what I didn't realize was that the water got on my laptop. And so about four keys didn't work, but because I was such a tight ass, I didn't want to buy a new laptop. So what I did was like, oh, I know, I'll go to a secondhand store and just get a big old plug-in keyboard and I'll just carry that around with me. So I would carry a laptop with a keyboard on top. And Sarah was like, I had this for about 6 years. Sarah was like, I think you've made enough money now. I was like shooting movie after movie at this point. She was like, that I think it's okay for you to buy a new laptop, one with a keyboard mm-hmm. that actually works. So you don't have to carry this whole thing. It's my mentality.
You haven't actually even done that. Like you don't own a laptop. No, like right now you're on like a
home computer screen that you've like plugged all this stuff into and like are crossing your fingers that all of it's going to work because you still haven't done that. But the thing that killed me was that the keyboard was like twice the size of the laptop. It was huge, you guys. It was like always sticking out of her backpack or her like bag as she'd have her like laptop in there. But then this like massive keyboard would be just kind of like poking out. And then I have this long cord and I'd be like, what are you doing?
Do you know what? It was the way I was brought up because I grew up and my mom and I, we lived in government housing. We just sort of, I had to be the MacGyver of the house. We had to make things work. Like my mom was on a disability pension, so we didn't have a lot of money. So it was like, figure out, even if something is so broken, figure out how to fix it. We were the people that had the coat hanger sticking out the top of the TV to try and get signal because we didn't want to pay for cable. And there were so many things in my life, like holes in the walls. I would just figure out a way how to patch it myself using like a balloon and I'd get really creative. And so I think the mentality carried on with me and I started working and earning money, but I wouldn't spend it. I was like I just could not spend it because I was like, I have to save. I have to save. I might go broke. But luckily I've moved through that. And now it's the other way. And I'm like, I have to save. I have to save. Like, I am so bad at saving now. I never have savings. I just don't have savings.
you've done like the pendulum swing. I do think that is a good, like, that's a good quality to have, is that thing where you're trying to be, but also just like utilizing, it's too bad how quickly technology kind of like goes kerplunk on us because it feels so wasteful when you're like getting rid of your laptop or sending it back for parts or like whatever it is. It's just like, why am I constant? I feel like every few years I'm having to invest into something. So it's like great that you did that for so long where you were plugging in that external keyboard. But I do think that there is, there's like, you know, you can pick and choose. Yeah, there's definitely a happy medium.
We have such an amazing guest today.
We are Ashley Tisdale. We're so excited. Hi,
she's
Ashley.
A mom boss. She's a mom of one, a little girl. She has her own business. She is, you will know her from many things like High School Musical. And oh my gosh, I'm fangirling right now. It's so exciting to meet you. And I feel like we have lots of mutual friends and I've certainly heard of you over the years. And then I've been seeing so many inspiring posts. You are so beautifully open and vulnerable and you talk about your parenting journey and mental health and you're advocating for women. And I just want to say thank you so much for all of that incredible work. And we could not be more excited to have you on the podcast today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys.
So I was reading about a motherhood interview that somebody was doing with you and they were talking a little bit about they're asking about how motherhood has been for you so far and you were talking about just the hardships of it. And I love that you were focusing on that postpartum period and talking about just like this time right after you have baby and you think like, oh, it's gonna be so blissful. And Teresa and I talk about this all the time, just with, you know, the pregnancy journey, the birthing journey, and then this fourth trimester time when you're bleeding and you're sweating. And like, I'm somebody who bleeds for almost 6 full weeks after I have a baby. I have like such big babies and it almost, it's like the moment the bleeding stops and then I like have a week break and then my period starts again, which does not happen for everyone, but that's what happens to me. So it's just like, I feel like I'm dealing with so much bleeding and then all of a sudden it's like, oh great, now I have a period. Okay, life's back to normal. I could get pregnant like 5 minutes. So I love that you were talking about your postpartum journey. So how has motherhood been for you? How old is your little one now?
She is a year old.
Oh my God.
No, it really does go by fast, like everybody says.
I know.
But my postpartum journey has been amazing, but also like, you know, very up and down. I think that One of the things recently that I have gone through, because I'm so open with my mental health and like I definitely do have anxiety and have suffered from depression in the past, because of that, I have like the tools that I feel that when I am feeling like a flare up, I usually just like rely on those tools. And recently I did have a flare up and I think it was just probably like, you know, the fourth trimester that I had blogged about and wrote about on Frenchie was that no one really like got me prepared for that part. And like, I think there was one friend of mine and I have a lot of friends and a sister who had a baby and like, no one told me that it's actually the worst part, like worse than labor. And she was so right. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. But I just think that sometimes like with me, I have been someone, I'm really actually surprised by myself as a mom because I actually am like less, I thought I'd be having anxiety about Jupiter, about everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm more actually like free flowing and being like, she's fine. Like babies are like totally fine if they like, you know, hit onto the floor sometimes. Like I'm very much like they're resilient, you know? And so I'm actually more like letting go in that area. But I... What I recently thought was that I think that I had a lot, like a really hard time letting go of my old self. And I think that it's like you're ever changing in this period and it feels like a maze and it feels like you're trying to find who you are. And I think that that was really surprising. And again, not something that people can really prepare you for because I've always just known who I am as a person and I've always known like what I want to do in life. And then to have the baby and you're like, who am I? Like, who am I now? And like, you're like, wait.
Yeah. And like, where do you exist in that? Like suddenly your mother.
Exactly. Like figuring out like what, how to do things that you did normally, but like, you'll never do them again the same way. Cause you're a mom now. Like that is who you are. And I think at first I was like really trying to figure out like, oh, I can still do this stuff and work and, you know, balance it all. But it's difficult to balance it all. It's hard and not, it's not like the easiest thing to get to, but I have to say like it's taking me this long to finally be like, oh, okay. Like I did have a little bit of grief when it came to thinking of like who I used to be and like grieving who that person was. Like I even say to my husband, like, what did we do on the weekends before we had the baby?
I actually don't remember. I was like, what did I do?
Yes. It's like, what is that? But it's like, it's just, it's all wrapped up with so many different feelings because you're so happy you have this little baby and like, she brings you so much happiness. So you don't even realize you're going like, to me, I just didn't realize I was going through this identity thing. And I finally, was able to be like, oh yeah, that stage of life is done for me. And that's like, okay. And this could be maybe even better than that stage of life. And that's, it's really just like finding that. And I think that's been all really kind of interesting and surprising and just a ride. It's been a ride, I would say.
I love that. I think it's so rare for people to come out and talk about like, where am I? Like, where am I in this new identity, in this new label, in this new season of my life? Like, where do I fit in this? Yeah. And what color am I now? Like, before I was doing A, B, and C, and now I've shifted into this whole new realm of my life. And how do I exist within that? Or like the birth of this new person? And what, who is she? What does she like? What does she need? How can I show up for her? And it's funny how much that shifts, but not a lot of people talk about that. A lot of people talk about postpartum blues and postpartum anxiety and sleepless nights and trying to establish a latch with your baby. But what about the identity crisis when moving from like not being a mother into this motherhood journey? What about that? So beautifully explained. And I love that you really took a look at that and were so willing to openly share your experiences.
Yeah, for sure. You know, also, you look at that and you think about relationships too. It's like, what's my, I went through this with my friends and with my husband, but it's like, you know, what with my relationship with my partner now, like that looks different right after you have a baby. And you, it's also, you know, the thing where we talk about all the time that like the society says that we have to multitask and like do all these things and balance all these things and make them all happen. And like when you become a new mother, it's all the multitask is really hard at first and the balance is even harder. And so you're trying to make space for a lot of space for the new baby, also for yourself. And then it's my partner too. And that's something in my like mommy and me group, they always talked about, like, don't forget about your partner. There's like so much going on. My boobs are huge. They really hurt. I'm leaking everywhere. I'm still bleeding. Like, it's hard for me to think about my partner or about, you know, anyone else in my life, even my friends. It's like hard to connect and write text messages and like all this stuff. And so I think it's so great to talk about that because for everybody listening who's a new mom or if you're about to have a new baby, it's totally normal to have these feelings and it's okay to feel blue after when you're going, well, am I still the same girl who can like go out to dinner at 10 p.m. and party until 2 with my friends and stay up and play cards? Like, sure, you could do that at some point, maybe not like right this moment.
Yeah.
But you can also grieve that time or say like, maybe I'm shifting into some new person that I'm really loving more, you know, or mm-hmm. and there's some different elements with her that I find that I connect more to. Like, this is my mommyhood, but I'm also going to find myself in my mommyhood, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was so interesting too because it's like I've been in this business since I was 3 years old, so I've worked my
whole life.
And so the pandemic has been like the longest period of time I've ever had off in my life. And not even like ever had off. I still was working on things like behind the scenes,
yeah.
Like blogging and creating Frenchie and stuff. But one of the things that, you know, that my part of my identity is that I love to work and my job has always mm-hmm. been like my priority. And like, so I think that once I had the baby, I was like, okay, cool. Like now I can jump back into work. But then I was like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I'm actually, like, really enjoying being with her, like, a lot more. And then I was, like, really finding these things that I just was surprising myself about. Like, even, you know, I had COVID in December, and I was isolated for 8 days in my room. And thankfully, Jupiter didn't get it, and my husband didn't get it. But in those 8 days, it was so kind of, like, to me, just, like, a learning lesson of like, mm-hmm. just a lesson of, you know, kind of obviously going through COVID and just being like, okay. And there's things that I just was like, oh my God, like the only thing I could think about in those moments were just my baby. That is literally mm-hmm. all I craved to be with. All I wanted to be with was Jupiter. I mean, my husband too, but I really was just like, this is so hard for me. You know, I've obviously been away from my husband doing like, you know, a movie or a TV stuff. And so it's like, but those 8 days being away from her was just so tough. And I really was like, oh my God, like I am a mom first and then everything comes second. And that was like, I think mm-hmm. to be honest, weirdly, like my moment of being like, this is who I am, you know, like a really
exciting
in that way.
Stepping into that new identity. And yes. that like the realization, the download from the universe, like, oh, this is who I am. And this is yes. what like sparks joy in me. And it's yeah, okay that priorities have shifted.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco. Whatever it is, make it happen with a Smarter Cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times, potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering, and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/motherdays.
I can relate to that. I think Sarah and I, we have this common thread that we talk about in terms of how to reconcile like us as performers and creators and being in films and TV, but also having these big families that we love and we are the heads of our families and we show up for our kids and we meet their needs every day. Yet there's still the desire, that creative pull to still be in the industry. And it's how do you balance those things? And what does that look like? What do we have to shift in order to embrace all of those things and find that organic balance and that organic flow within those things? But it's difficult. Oh my goodness. It is difficult. And sometimes I feel like we get it right and we're, oh wow, we're really juggling all these things and it seems to be flowing quite well. And then other times, the multitask just is not working and we're solely focused on one thing or the other.
Well, I definitely don't. I mean, it's like, I am amazed that you guys have so many kids because I have one and I'm like, it's like, I don't know if I could handle three. And I'm like, it's amazing what you guys do with handling like tons of children.
Oh my God. We just laugh. Like people laugh at me. I mean, four is pretty significant. Three is probably a more normal number. But like, I have to say the jump from three to four wasn't that big. Like once you've had three, it's like, all right, that's a significant amount of children. You are definitely, we have two parents and we have three kids. Like we're outnumbered already. But it is, you know, we always talk about, we just embrace the chaos. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be imperfect. It's going to be messy. It's not, you know, those like the highlight reel of your life that you see on people's Instagrams, like it's not that way. That isn't reality. Yeah. It's just some days are great. Some days are really challenging.
Teresa and I, we flew to Jackson Hole one time as the moms and then all the kids, right? And so there was like, I think at that time it was like five kids or six kids. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I had Poet, baby Poet.
You had Poet. Oh, okay. So I think we had five kids. But we were going through the airport. All the kids were like, you know, on their scooter backpacks, and we were like trying to grab food at Starbucks, and then we were getting to the gate, and like there was, we had to change diapers, and like there was so much chaos happening. Then we get on the plane, we're like flying in the plane. There's this crazy amount of turbulence, and Teresa and I think that we're gonna die on the airplane, and like the flaps of like the things are coming out, and like suitcases are flying, and people are screaming, and all of our children, thank God, had headphones on and were watching movies. So thank God for the fact that they were zombies watching movies, because they did not realize that how horrifying it got in the air. But then of course Teresa and I are like sobbing. I mean, I'm sobbing. She's not really crying, and I can't really see her. And I'm like trying to wave her down and be like, are we going to die? And then,
and I was like, at least we would die happy. We would
all of our children. And then we finally land, and her and I are like shaking, and we're pulling the kids out, and the kids don't really know why we're so freaked out, but we're trying to like keep it chill. And then we get to my husband, Eric, who's picking us up in Jackson Hole. And we were like, you have no idea what just happened. But that was like the epitome of chaos. And we had so many kids there. And it was as nuts as it was. We were like, thank God we had each other. And like, mm-hmm. you know, our kids had each other, and we were all together.
Wild. Wild.
I'm really interested to hear from you because you're just such a successful person in all the different areas of your life. I feel like it's so inspiring to see how much you're juggling, and now you're a mom, and you're also like being so open and beautiful with Frenchie and sharing your mental health journey. And, you know, I'm a real advocate for mental health, and my mom has schizoaffective disorder, and it was just her and I growing up. I am a single child to, you know, it's just mom and I. And so I love it when public people are so willing to show the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. You talked specifically about having a toolkit, your go-to things to tap into when things feel overwhelming, when it gets tough. I would love to hear from you, and I'm sure many listeners who are out there just listening to us speak right now, they want to know, all right, what, when you feel the anxiety coming up, when you think things are feeling a bit out of control, like what are those tools? What can people do?
So it's obviously changed being, you know, at home and in this pandemic. Like I used to, for a period of time right before everything, I was like working nonstop. I went from like a Netflix show to a CBS show, and like basically like a year, like that whole year. And I was going nonstop, and I had had faced my anxiety about probably a year before all of that happened. So I had kind of, I probably had like a pretty healthy anxiety my whole life. But then I love to learn about myself. And I did this book called The Presence Process, and I became a little bit too present and realized how much anxiety I had. And so I'm very sensitive. Like I can feel things in my body, and I can feel when my body is off. And so I, you know, would start to feel these symptoms of kind of really, really bad anxiety. And so I really faced this time in my life, and I found this book. I was doing a CBS show, and the makeup artist could tell I was like really not doing well. And she was like, I think you're having a lot of anxiety. And I was like, no, there's something like going on. Like, I think there's something else happening. Like, I thought I was sick with something. I just didn't know. And I was like, that was scaring me even more. And because what I had heard about anxiety was just kind of like a blanket statement. Like, no one really discusses certain symptoms that you feel. And so I was just thinking the worst of my symptoms. Like, it was the point where I was actually like, and you guys would understand this because you're actresses, but I was shooting the show, and I was shaking, like my body was in shock, and they would say action and it would stop. And I was like in the scene, in the moment, but then they would say cut and it went back to shaking. Like it was that to that point. And so, so I just knew, I was like, I don't know, like whatever I can do. And so this makeup artist was like, I'm telling you, you have to check out this book. It's called Attacking Anxiety and Depression by Lucinda Bassett. It's like super old school. She's like, I haven't had a panic attack since I was 14 years old based off of the book. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'll try anything. And so it's this amazing book that's like 15 weeks long. And it's like you do like homework and you dedicate, like to me, I always say you just dedicate 30 minutes in the morning to it. And it comes with CDs. It's so old school that you have to like,
oh, I love it.
To put your CD in. But there's like these group sessions that you hear other people that are going through the exact same symptoms that you are feeling. So then you kind of start to like feel less afraid of those symptoms. And it's just something that really changed me at the time. And I think that it also inspired me in a lot of ways to kind of go out and do things that I was afraid to do in the past. And so I wrote an album called Symptoms at that time, which was based off of my symptoms. Each single was like basically, you know, what I was going through. And that's when I really came out and was open with everyone about how I struggle with mental health. And I think at that time, there wasn't really a lot of people speaking up about it. There was just a lot of people we heard, you're losing people to it. And that weighed on me. I lost somebody to it about probably 2 years prior to doing that record. And he was actually my A&R at Warner Brothers Records. And so I was just like, I never even knew he dealt with that stuff. And so I'm like, we just have to start talking about it, because I feel like the more we talk about it, the more it takes the stigma out of the whole, like, you know, what we think, and we realize everybody kind of goes through it and goes through those periods. Mm-hmm. And it just, the people that don't talk about it are usually the most scary, you know, like that's like, that to me is, it's when you feel alone in it. And
true isolation.
Yeah. And it's like everybody deals with it at some point in their life. And so I just feel like, let's just be open. And so I have really been so happy with how many people are talking about it nowadays, and even in music. And so basically I will always, I go back to that book. That book always helps me, but I have learned to manage. It's not like anxiety goes away. It's just that you're able to manage it better by not being so afraid of the symptoms. And I know how to set my day up for success with meditating. So I meditate every morning. Right. And I think that while, so like the reason why I said I was doing all this work, and then obviously I stayed home for a long time. I had a really difficult time before the pandemic with staying home. I would be on hiatus for 2 weeks and I'd be like, oh my God, I need to go to work. Like I just hated just being still and home. And so it was really shocking that when the pandemic happened, I literally was like, okay, like we're here now. And so, you know, I've got to accept that we're home for a while. I can't be scared to just kind of be still. And so I started creating rituals, to be honest, to help me. And I've continued to do those rituals, like through pregnancy, through motherhood. Like I really rely on them. And it's, to me, it's just that I'm only going to be as good as, like, you know, I being a mom now, it's like, she's going to be happy if I'm happy, you know? So it's like, I do 100%. Think that we forget ourselves, you know? And I feel like we need to make sure that we do take that time, and our husbands need to make sure they understand, like, there needs to be that time for ourselves. Cause at the end of the day, like, we can have an amazing partner who's so helpful, but they're going to really want, you know, Jupiter really wants mom a lot of the time. And so it's like, you know, I'm like, okay, well now I just have to create, like, what are those rituals and how, and so basically just small things, like by taking a bath at night and a bath bomb and just kind of like self-care. Like self-care has become like my kind of at-home spa situation. And beautiful. I just love like lighting candles and opening windows and just letting fresh air in. And so I think that those rituals really do help me. And those are just like very simple things that you can like do every day where it just like sets you up for a good day. And sets up, you know, like Jupiter to have a good day as well. So I think it's important that we, you know, we definitely, as much as everything, like for Jupiter, I'm like, oh my God, whatever I got to do. You know, I think that there's those moments where my husband will be like, okay, you are definitely stressed because you've had work and trying to balance everything. And he'll like make a bath for me. And I'm like, oh my God.
Aww.
Because he knows.
Oh, he's showing up for you.
Yeah.
Well, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
We say
that
in our book. True. Like, yeah. We have to, like, I always talk about my tree. I go back to the tree. We're the trunk of the tree.
Oh my God.
And the branches.
But wait, the other day you were talking about, you were like, okay, so it's supposed to be like me and Mark and we're the trunk of the tree and then like the branches are our kids and like all the things. She's like, but really it's like me and the kids are the trunk and then Mark's like a tiny little branch over here.
He's like a little branch up here. His like need for me and attention and like for me to hear him and see him. He has such a high need for that. And I'm like, fill your own need. Like, I'm meeting the needs of all these children. Like, what? Like, you're an adult. You can. And I'm like, Teresa Palmer, what are you doing? Like, I need to nurture my relationship. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
And he's so happy that I'm talking to you about this, Sarah, because Sarah really like nurtures her relationship with Eric. They really take care of one another. And I'm always like, Mark, do it yourself. I'm in the middle of doing so many things for the kids. Like, you look after you. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. I don't have that balance quite down yet in my household. But the self-care ritual, oh my goodness, I need it as well. And we call them non-negotiables in our house.
Yeah.
And Mark's non-negotiable is he goes to the gym. He gets to have his 1 hour where he goes and he trains. And for him, that just gets him out of his head. And he just finds it really inspiring. He gets quite creative when he's in that zone. And then for me, I'm like, kids are in bed. I need an hour in the bath, exactly like what you said, my bath bomb. I listen to my podcast. And I chill without anybody needing me or interrupting my bath.
No, it's so important. I feel like it's just, even for, my husband, like we're just big meditators. He loves meditation. So, you know, like obviously this last weekend, you know, it was 3-day weekend. So you're just like going and you're going to you're just like, you know, on weekends, it's like, how do we entertain her? Like what can,
yes.
It's really funny because my husband always is like, I'm like, it's exhausting entertaining a baby. And he's like, you go like 100, like you don't have to be up at that. Like I literally for this girl just to make her happy. And he's like, you don't have to be at 100 at all times, but I always love to do activities with her. And so by the end of the weekend, it was so funny because last night, this is so typical. Our friends were going to come over to watch a movie. And after we put her down, I was just like, I'm exhausted. I have nothing in me to want to watch a movie and entertain a whole nother group of friends. And I was like, I think I'm just going to chill. And it's like good to know what those boundaries are. And even for my husband, he like, you know, we put her down and he was like, I got to go meditate. And it's like, it just is something that I'm so lucky to have, you know, such an amazing husband who has been always very supportive over me and my work and also just so like hands-on dad with Juju. So it's really been.
Oh, Juju. Awesome. That's so cute. Oh my gosh. That's her nickname. Well, first of all, her name just in general, Jupiter, is like the cutest thing ever. And I'm like, I feel like you got to write a song about it. You got to write a song about Jupiter. I want to hear you sing it. And then the nickname Juju. Oh my gosh. Was it over the pandemic or when you got pregnant? Like, when did you, because I watched you launch Frenchie. Like, I watched you launch it. I followed you through it. Like, I look on it all the time because I'm like, what products is she using? Because I want to use that on my face, like, whatever it is. So when exactly did Frenchie launch? And what was, when you were first thinking it up, were you like, okay, I want to write a blog about what's going on in my life, or I want to put, you know, these like have a platform so that I can elevate other brands or brands that I love, or like, what was the thought process behind it and what brought you there?
So basically, when I was telling you about when I faced that anxiety and like really figured out that I was very stressed out, and knew that it had gone to a point where I had to deal with it. At that moment, I had taken over a company that I was doing in beauty, and it was very stressful. That was actually one of the main stressors because it was like literally just me. And I was trying to find a team to obviously put it together. And it just was way over my head because obviously I was acting still, I was doing music and trying to be a CEO of a company, which is a full-time job for someone. So I was like, I finally realized, like, I just can't do it. I can't do it all. I can't. And when I say I did everything, I would be like in the makeup trailer, like putting in discount codes for Shopify. Like, it was like,
oh my gosh.
Like, I didn't have this, nothing. It was just me. And so,
that's insane. First of all, I know exactly what that means. Yes. And that's a lot.
It's that so is a much. Lot. It's so much. And so I really had all this pressure, and I said to myself, what is my fear? And the fear was obviously failing. And you know what? I did. I failed at it. And I had that moment where I cried, and I was like, okay, like, I'm going to let this all out. I'm going to cry it out. But at that moment, I was like, I am uninspired in many ways of products and stuff. And I was just like, I think that to me, what I did with that was I went on a journey of trying to find out what was going on with me. And that was a long journey. That was meeting with holistic doctors. Mm-hmm. That was meeting with, you know, regular physicians, trying to find out what was wrong with me when it turned out to just be anxiety and the stress that I was under. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting because I let that go and I just had focused on my acting at that time. And then while I was doing that, I was like, you know, like, I really want a platform where I can share all of the information that I had, like, gone through this journey and, yeah, and have access to these experts. And I was just like, I really want to share that on a platform. Just because, like, I don't know if people, like, it's, for me, I felt like what I knew about, you know, non-toxic products or just holistic is that it just feels like very one way or the other. And I'm all about balance. So I was just like, there really wasn't anything to me that was, whenever I met with someone, like, I would go meet with, like, you know, all these different doctors, and everyone had a different diet of what they thought was the diet to be on. Like, one was vegan. One was, well, you know, moderation. Like, one was like, I think paleo. It was like all of these different things. And so I just kind of realized, like, I think it is all about moderation. And I think that, you know, for me, I tried being vegan, but I ended up being anemic. So I was like, okay, so I can't be vegan, even though I don't, you know, like, I would rather, but I was like, well, if I could dedicate a day to being vegan, that's important to me. And so we all have different body types and everything works differently for all of us. And so I just wanted to create a platform where I could share all that information. And I felt like I have been on this journey of, like, self-discovery, and I'm constantly loving to, like, learn more about myself and my body. And I think I started that when I married my husband, whose name is Chris French. And so I was like, oh, like, I've always kept, even though I've been in front of social media for, like, you know, obviously, like, since Instagram started, I've always been able to separate somehow where it's like those boundaries where I let in only so much, but not everything. And mm-hmm. I felt like this was the first time I was getting very personal with my audience. And so I felt like I've always separated, like, okay, me as, you know, as an actress and, you know, like, that's Ashley Tisdale, and at home I'm Ashley French. And so I felt like it was letting people in on who I was at home and what my body goes through and what I've gone through. And so I named it Frenchie. And
I love that. Yeah. I was actually going to ask you where the name came from. So I'm so glad that you said that, because it's such a cute name. And by the way, your logo is so cute. I want it on a sweatshirt.
Oh my God. Thank you. Merch.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the merch?
Yeah. Give me that merch. It's like, it has like a 1970s vibe. Like, I want to throw on like a French sweatshirt and like put on some bell bottoms and like roller skate. That's what we want to do.
That's so our style. No, I mean, it's been so amazing. And I think what I was really excited about was that I was creatively inspired again. And I hadn't felt that way for a while. So, and we do, you know, I can't talk much about it yet, but we do have products coming, and it's been such an amazing experience just being able to, it's just like, I've developed it the entire time I've been home. And it's like, you know, what an amazing way to spend your first year of your baby's life of being able to work from home and do all these things.
Yes.
So I'm pretty excited, and it is coming out soon, but But it's such a journey. And I feel like, you know, I love that I get to share other people's stories, like, on Frenchie. And that's been really, you know, I think that Frenchie is just has such a great community that really wants to learn more about all of these things. Because I feel like when we talk about non-toxic, we obviously think about products and what's in our products, but we can be very toxic to ourselves. And so that's also kind of like the main theme there is why we talk about mental health, of just really starting with self-love. And I had actually had explanted my implants at the time that I had launched, like right before I launched Frenchie. And I knew it was so funny because it was just years in the making. It's amazing how life is and how like when you think something's really bad and you like such an amazing platform of like what I created and having this community came from something that I thought I failed at. And so I always am someone who believes like, it's really how you get back up, you know, it's really how you get back up from feeling. Cause it's sometimes you don't even really like realize that it's just kind of you putting this pressure on yourself and that it's okay. And it's actually leading you to something even better. But, but yeah, I think this has been kind of years in the making, and I realized I'm going to have to share like real stories, like real vulnerable stories. And I love doing that because as you guys know, like talking to a journalist and interviews, like things get twisted and, you know,
something
becomes a headline that you don't really have control over. And so I get to share like why I did,
and
you know,
get
why
to curate it,
not implants in the first place, and like why I felt like explant them. And like,
I wanted to ask you about that because when I first was thrust into this industry, it happened really quickly for me. And I felt like at such a young age, such an impressionable age in my early 20s. And I know you became mega famous at a super young age. And I have never experienced that kind of like stratosphere of fame. That's just next level. But even my little version of it, when I was starting to come up in movies, I felt so, I felt like I had to show up and be this certain story. Right. I was like the narrative of how people saw me and how I should look physically. And there was a celebration of like my physicality. And I felt like I would get cast in these movies and they'd doll me up and they'd talk about my body. And I would have these push-up bras on and I'd have these tiny little skinny jeans on. And it'd be about like working out and going to the gym and they're getting you a trainer for this. And you know, your like eye bags. My eye bags got talked about a lot when I was younger. Like, I remember I had a very famous director that I worked with be like, you've obviously, like, you're allergic to something because your dark circles are very, very dark and the DP doesn't know what to do with them. And we're going to have to build an entire light box around you. And could you stop eating? Maybe it's the gluten. Like, I think you should try going on a gluten-free diet. And I was like, yes, I should. I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize, like, and it was such a focus on the physical that I ended up developing unhealthy eating, unhealthy relationship to food and what I was eating, and everything became hyper-controlled. And I was so anxious about making sure I looked a certain way that all of a sudden I realized, like, I don't love this anymore. I don't like it. In fact, I have such a negative feeling surrounding my career that I had to take a break. I just sort of left for a beat and turned inwards and started to do, like, took a personal inventory and took a look at myself and realized, like, oh my gosh, I just have to cultivate self-love and acceptance, and I am enough just the way I am. So when I hear you talk about, like, you got implants and, like, this is something that happened, was that born out of this idea that you had to physically look a certain way in order to be accepted in this industry?
You know, that actually wasn't. I had actually very early on when I was working on Disney, I had a kind of an identity crisis because they did like chop off my hair and bleach it blonde and straighten it. And I was like, who am I? Like, at a pretty young age, I was like, I think at that point I felt like, oh, was I not good enough before? Like, why was my dark curly hair like not acceptable, you know? And and so, and it wasn't even Disney that was doing that. It was really just a producer on the show that like had her vision of what my character looked like. And I didn't realize that I had a say actually back then. And I remember one of the president of Disney was like, "Oh, do you love it? Because you wanted to do it?" And I was like, "No, I didn't." Like it was that type of like, I had no idea that I had a say in what I looked like. I was like, I maybe might have not done this, but it was like, so I think I felt that then, but the implant stuff really like, you know, I obviously like I was a cheerleader on a show for CW for a while. So it's like, yes, like you're, you know, you want your body to look a certain way. But I think it was more like I had a really bad relationship. And that relationship was, you know, he was a perfectionist and he was a music video director. And it was just very like, I felt like I was seeing myself through his eyes in a weird way. And that like, I felt like I needed to be a certain like person for him maybe. And it was more of like, just that lack of like, just insecurity of myself and thinking I wasn't enough for the relationship. And so, yeah, I mean, I definitely can understand the business part about it. I feel like it was more, I think like for me, I accepted at that time when I was younger, when I had gone through that like hair transformation, that it was just like, okay, I think the hardest thing for me, I would say that is that people expect me to be like my character. And that has been a story that has been a long story. And it's really like, it's really people like being like, well, come on, like, why aren't you blonde again? And like, you know, I sometimes will have like blonder hair and stuff, but I don't think I'll like, really ever go back to that like real platinum blonde because it's just not really, it's hard to keep up with. It breaks my hair and it's like, I'd rather have healthy hair. But I do think that to me has been something that I've realized over time that I've also had to let go. And that's like what I'm saying, like this whole season of letting go, I've let go of a lot of things. And I think one of those things is just like this story of like what people want from me and being like, well, this is who I am. And being like, I think that because I have such self-love and that when I realized I didn't need those explants anymore, or like I didn't need those implants and I explanted, I was like, I'd rather be like, I don't know what I'm going to look like after this explant, but I was like, I'd rather look like that. And yes, I'm going to have scars, but those are part of the journey. And
yeah,
I just had so much love for myself. And I finally reached that point where I was just like, I don't need this anymore. Like, this is part of an old story of mine that was just not healthy. And like, why did I feel like I needed to do that? And I think that plastic surgery in general has always been something that I've felt that like, you can change tons of different things, but like, you're never going to change that insecurity. Like, that insecurity will still be there. Like, you do have to get to a point where you really love yourself, because I just feel like that's also just something that I have a difficult time, because I'm like, you know, obviously I have a niece who's 12 and I see social media and I'm like, ooh, I see all these girls trying to look a certain way and be a certain way. And I'm like, I've had experience there. I understand. I've been one of those girls where I've like wanted to change myself, but I'm so glad I didn't go down like a real far hole there, because it's like, you really learn that like, as you get older, you're like, I don't want to look like everybody else. Like I do look and I like being myself. And so I think it'd be like, maybe there was part of the business that made me feel a little bit like that. But I also think it was just more like who I was around. I would say for me, my journey in the business was just, I had a hard time trusting people, like a lot, like just trusting why people would hang out with me or even date me, or just like want, I had a lot of people around me that I felt was, that when I got with my husband, I started to realize like, oh, this is what love is. And that other feeling of people just kind of hanging out with you, just to hang out with you, to like, you seen in that's pictures.
So insincere.
You're like, oh, that's fake. That's not real. So it's like, it just, I started to really get inspired by my relationship and with my husband, and really like figure out who those people were in my life and kind of, you know, yeah, just kind of, I think, go through that journey. I remember crying one time because we had gotten engaged, me and my husband, and I really, like, it was, like, so personal. You know, like, that's a personal thing I would not share on Instagram, was that I got engaged. But it got leaked, and I was like, who would do this? Like, I only told a certain amount of friends. So I was like, who would say something? And so obviously everyone was like trying to get a picture of the ring and stuff. And I would always hide it. And then there was this one time where I was out and I for sure did not know how they even would know where I was. And so it's like that feeling of people, like, you're like, who did, you know, it just feels horrible. It doesn't feel right. And so I think that to me, I'm so grateful that I have such amazing friends that I, you know, like, that are genuine and real, and that I have an amazing husband who inspired a lot of that, you know, because I think we all go through those times in our 20s where we're like hanging out with people that are just hanging out for fun, you know, and it's just like,
oh, nice, yeah. I've read something once about the psychology of like fame, and when you become famous and you become this name, this name is synonymous with like the narrative that people think, like, oh, Ashley Tisdale is this girl, like this is what she's like. But then it's all almost this idea of splitting. Well, there's the Ashley Tisdale, like what you're saying, then there's like me. Who am I in all of this? Like, how can these things coexist? And oftentimes that's so confusing for people who get really super famous. And I found it really interesting reading these articles that a lot of famous people, they do this like idea of the splitting, where it's like, well, that's the persona, but the real me beneath here is like what I like to keep to myself, or I only show a few people. But what I really appreciate with you is that you said, you know what, like, I know that I can be open and I can actually like peel back the layers and show people like, hey, this real person exists in this idea of who I am. Like, this is my authentic self.
Yeah.
And that like beautiful person, you are going to be such an inspiration to people, that it's okay to have vulnerability, and it's okay to like be open about flaws or insecurities or hard times. Like, we need more people in your position because you have a voice and you have a platform and you are willing to go there and say, look at this, like, this happens to me too. And you are not alone. If it's happening to you, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's breaking down those barriers. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. No, it's amazing. And we're big fans of Frenchie. And if you guys haven't checked it out, it's FRENSHE. Is that right?
Yes.
Did I say that right? .com?
Yes. Oh, and just so you know, it's Bayo Baby, right?
Yeah.
You know that we're like, that is literally since day one. There was one moment where we ran out and my husband was like, we need to order more. But that is,
oh my god,
uses. That's,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. I just got really sweaty and hot.
No,
and,
it's
I get excited. That's what happens to me. That is so sweet. Oh, that makes me so happy. I will, anytime you want, let me know. She and said, I
you
will
are getting a package forever. In the mail. You are, here it comes.
That makes me so happy because, like you, I was inspired as a new mom, and I, you know, wanted to create a line and of things that were clean and organic and wonderful. And so to hear any time that a person writes us, a customer who says, "Oh my gosh, I love this product so much." It means the world to me and to my partners, because we're just like, yes, you know, this is why we did it.
What's so great about the baby bump is that I love that it's clear, because we can always tell if there's a rash or something, you know, like with the, it's like always residue and you can't really, but she has never like really had a rash. So I attribute to you guys. And so I love Bayo Baby. It smells so good too. So yeah.
Well, I use it every day. So on all the parts of my body. My poor baby doesn't even get it because I'm like, no,
I know. It's so funny. I'll send a package to Teresa and I'm like, this is for you, and then this is for the kids, you know.
I know. It's
and
so
we just launched a lip and cheek tint that I have to send you.
Oh my God.
Because it's so awesome and it makes like life really easy. It's just like a whip it on the cheeks, whip it on the lips.
Love that. And I mean, I'm totally going to cut this out, Sarah, but literally my husband, when I told him that you're going to be next door, and he was like, cool, we'll knock on her door. We're not going to be knocking on her door for a product. That's how much
you can totally do it.
You could totally do it. She would be stoked.
I'm so excited.
That'll be a little house.
We're going to have.
There'll be a boss.
We're totally going to party. I'm so excited. We'll get all the 40 children together.
For real.
So you guys can follow Ashley's company at Frenchie. And it's on Instagram. It's at Frenchie, right? And then it's Frenchie.com, F-R-E-N-S-H-E. Obviously, we know where to find her on Instagram with her amazing videos and posts and everything. You're such an inspiration. Thank you so much for doing our podcast. We cannot wait for everybody to be able to hear it. And then we will link all of the things that you have going on. And we are very impatiently awaiting whatever it is that you're about to launch. That's very exciting.
Thank you guys. You're the best. I felt so safe and what a great space to talk about these things.
Thank you so much.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.